No announcement for visitors, I presume. Anyone request a leave of absence? No public question time. Any declarations of interest regarding the two items that we have before us? If not, I'll ask for someone to move item 5.1. Unless this is a recommendation, 5.1. Can we move someone second it, please? Justin? Open it for discussion or questions.
I'm just wondering if Matt could give us a rundown of it just in terms of it's going through tender exempt
process.
Yes, and process and that thing around the threshold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this is an interesting bias. So we all know what we're trying to deliver here. We're trying to build some house to the community. The section in our legislation talks about major lien transactions. And it becomes a major lien transaction if it's above 10% of our total income in school. Yeah. It's about $535,000 per year.
10% wallet?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so we, you know, whether it's an individual, if you look at one house at a time, doesn't matter, we would still reach that threshold with the grow house. Okay, so we've got no choice. So what we did was what it says then is you've got to do a business plan. You've got to then advertise that business plan with public notes, which is in a specific way under the legislation, and that's got to be for a period of 6 weeks. But then it has to come back to the council, and council has to endorse it based on any public feedback we receive. So, yeah, all it means is if you're doing an important investment, it's trying to demonstrate, it's you doing the sums to demonstrate that that important investment isn't going to be a financial detriment to the community. So that's what it's all about. So we know it's not that for us. We know the grow houses will pay for themselves over the term, the lease term we negotiate. So you can nearly take them out of the picture. Our key worker accommodation will always run at a loss, but that's because we're providing a service to the community and to the other essential services in town. And then you've got your aged person units, which, you know, they probably run all right given their value, but it's still a service provision for our community. And our, you know, modus operation is a service provider. You know, and it's generally the service of last resort, being low income. So that's the purpose of that part of the resolution, is we have to go through that process. It's a bit of a cart before the horse when you think of it. And then the other part of the resolution is they're going, the way to procure, well, it's a difficult thing. We've already been through iteration after iteration with Grow Housing, and we've worn out our welcome with suppliers. They'll only give you quotes for so long and modify plans for so long, and they'll say, well, I'm not putting any more resources into this because I have no, I'm not going to get a job. So one of the things we've looked at is, you know, we've got a welcome panel for housing, we've got a Department of Communities panel for housing. We've done a lot of market research over the last 18 months. It started with the tennis clubhouse, it started with the daycare, and it's then gone through this process, this iterative process we've had with Grow Housing, the key worker housing, and some APU housing. I provided you a spreadsheet of the housing or the pricing we've received. There's some other products, and it clearly demonstrates that if we can get a local builder and use a certain form, we're going to have the best value for money in the business. It's still important to keep the market appetite when you're going to market, and that's why I was selective with my words in the council open report by not saying who, what, how, what. And that's because you don't want to give them the impression they're getting sold. But the problem you've got is the way you do procurement for housing is not the way our procurement processes are generally structured. You generally would find a builder you want to build with. You then work with that builder to develop what you're going to build, as in modify a plan, and then you get a final price. Under the Local Government Act, you can't actually do that because it will be classified as a variation and a change in scope of works, and you're not allowed. It'll become a non-material change generally. So it puts you in a bit of a difficult position, and I think that's why they set up the housing panel, you know, with the Department of Communities and Wellcome, and what we for them was to do a tender exempt process by going to market with the ones we know. I don't want to waste, and you shouldn't also waste people's time when you're doing procurement. We've got a plan that Grow has now endorsed. If we go out to the market with that plan, we're going to get 10 other plans because they won't be the same plan. And if they are, they'll classify them as custom build and the price will be double of what the vanilla builds are. So you're wasting everyone's time. So that's why we thought, and there's a way of doing it, and other councils are doing the same thing. It's a solely invite tender based on your evidence of, you know, you've already demonstrated the best value for money through that type of supply, and then you go from there and work with that proponent. Still through a panel offer, so you're still going to do an offer for pricing through the panel, and then you work with them on the projects. What we're saying here is that we will do three separate offers because they're different. The pro specs, way of the top, different build. The key work is a different build to the APU. They're all different specifications, so we'd want to keep them separate. And it's probably easier to manage if you keep them separate. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yep.
Any further questions?
Just on the SIP form, what is that?
SIP form is it's been on the news quite a bit lately. It's a modular building methodology that comes flat packed on a truck. And it's a wall panel that has fibre on the inside, whatever you want on the outside. It could be weatherboard, it could be fibre, flat sheeting, whatever. And like the walls, the outside walls are 130 mm thick. It's an 8-star builder-rated building, which is another very good thing for here with our thermal efficiency requirements because it's pretty hot. But the best thing about it is it comes in a flat pack, all labelled builder. Your local builder you engage puts it together. Generally, the build erection takes 2 weeks. So you get a snapper on the ground and it takes 2 weeks to build the build, then you're doing internal fit out. So it saves a lot. And this is why it's better value for money. It saves on that, your long time building process has a lot of lead times. This cuts a lot of that out because it's factory manufactured to plan, comes to site, the builder erects it, and puts the roof. You can even have the roof as part of that product as well, but it depends on what your building is. And it's just that's why it's becoming a cost effective building method. And it's also a far superior thermal rating building.
So it'll be stick roof or it'll be pre made?
Depends what you want to do. So you can use a pre-made roofing panel, that, you know, like a skillion arrangement, and that's exactly the same stuff. It's a foam film, with all the roof profile on top and a ceiling underneath. All the conduits and everything are already pre-designed as part of the design, and they're already put into the building because that's always been an issue with this type of operation. And you're just getting a way better product than you are for instance, with another modular type that might use freezer panels or something a lot lighter. So that's what I'm looking at.
Other questions? If not, following the recommendation, are there any dissenters to that recommendation?
Thank you. That's slide 7. Item 6.1. I'm going to move that recommendation, please.
John, seconders. Anthony, questions?
Well, we might say thank you for Jack for attending today. Helen's away. So Jack's in the hot seat.
And Helen, we'll have a question for you, Jack. Well, absolutely sure.
We didn't want to ask.
It was well done on a great report. It was incredibly comprehensive and I felt like I got a big insight into ICT environment, so well done. I just had a question around the telephony services and so telephone, is that a lot like, connection and voice. So there was a big difference from our current cost, like current expenditure of $28,000 to the preferred tenderer or the recommended recommended tender of 23 at 1,930. And I'm just wondering, I know you said that the Telstra stuff is out of scope, so budgeted as a mysterious budget item, but that seems like a big saving, that's almost $30,000. So will that appear as an increased cost in our, Telstra-related services, or how is it going to be covered? Yeah.
Yeah, no, good question.
to the extent that I can go into it, I won't talk about the tenders, I'll talk about our current arrangements. So the Telstra service is out of scope, and that's got nothing to do with this project. Mm-hmm. So when we say telephony system, what we're talking about is the networked calls or the voice over IP calls. So right. This is how our Microsoft infrastructure and how our mobile numbers are converted to digital numbers and how we communicate within the Shire using mm-hmm. the phone service. There's a conversion part of that that allows us to make outbound calls. But the Telstra stuff is in relation to councillor iPads and data sims. Mm-hmm. It's in relation to satellite phones coming in.
Mm-hmm.
It's in relation to the hard lines coming into the building, the old infrastructure, which we'll be looking to play with. So all the new charges are to take over the digitisation.
Okay.
So totally separate thing to what Telstra currently offer us under that part of the building.
Right. Yeah. And I might add through, Mr. President, that the different tenderers will offer different amounts in different areas based on their financial model for when they do the tender. So it's difficult to see, whether they are apples and apples sometimes, because they may have put that cost here or there, depending on how they structure their offer.
It's not going to be a reduction in the service provision, you're going to be able to. A continuity of service.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if I can talk about the structure of the tenders or how it works, is that with the current provider, they are supplying the hosting directly. So they own the server hardware, the infrastructure, and when you virtualize your phone system, what they say is, I've got a server, it's got RAM, it's got CPU, it's got all of this, we're then going to virtually partition it. And this much of the physical hardware will be dedicated towards the phone data coming in and out. This much of the hardware will be for processing all of your file data on your computers. Yeah. So that's why Infinitum are high, because they own the hardware, they're charging that out to us. Whereas some of the respondents have said, instead, we will outsource the hosting function to someone else that's got a whopping huge data center, floors and floors of hardware, and they can give you that resource for significantly less. So they virtualize it and they outsource it to third parties, but they're responsible for the billing and the configuration of it.
Okay.
And that's why it's loose.
All right.
Thanks, Beck. I'm in door of Helen's words about the comprehensiveness of the report. Any further questions?
I think it's been said. Good work by Helen and Jack. It's a pretty complicated evaluation, and that's, you've done well, thank you, and it's a big amount of money we're committed to. I know it's over a period of time, but I think we're all going to be confident that you've done the best to find the best value. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll now put that recommendation. Are there any dissenters? If not, it's carried 7-0. Thank you all for your attendance. So what did we get out of here? Is there enough? Right, so we'll declare that meeting closed.